You've heard the expression, the medium is the message. But what does that really mean? The medium is the message is a term coined by Marshall McLuhan in his book, Understanding Media, Extensions of Man. More than 50 years after it was published in 1964, Understanding Media reads as if it's from the future. In this Understanding Media summary, I'll break down, in my own words, why the medium is the message, as well as other key ideas within this media theory classic. This is Love Your Work, and I'm David Cadavy. I'm going to cover three key ideas in this summary. One, the medium is the message. Basically, it's not the content of the media that matters. Instead, the characteristics of that medium determine its content. Two, we're shifting from mechanical technology to electric technology. Mechanical technology such as wheels, roads, and the printing press influence us in different ways from electric technology such as the light bulb, television, or today, the internet. Three, mechanical technology detribalized humans. Now electric technology is retribalizing humans. This shift causes stress in the ways we interact with one another. Our lack of awareness of how technology changes the way we interact is a threat to civilization. McLuhan weaves these and other ideas throughout the book as he analyzes things you might normally think of as media, such as radio, television, and books, but also things you might normally not think of as media, such as roads, clothes, money, and clocks. Now, each of those three main ideas in more detail. One, the medium is the message. What does the medium is the message mean? McLuhan says, the medium is the message. This is merely to say that the personal and social consequences of any medium, that is, of any extension of ourselves, results from the new scale that is introduced into our affairs by each extension of ourselves or by any new technology. Let me break down some ideas within this quote. First, McLuhan refers to media as extensions of ourselves. Remember, the subtitle of the book is Extensions of Man. McLuhan casts a wide net in what he thinks of as media. To McLuhan, media is anything that extends our capabilities as humans. As he says, any extension, whether of skin, hand, or foot, affects the psychic and social complex. In other words, any media extends our capabilities. In the process, it changes how we think and how we interact with one another. How does media change how we think and interact the psychic and social complex? In the quote I presented earlier, McLuhan also talks about the new scale that is introduced into our affairs by these extensions of ourselves. Every medium alters what McLuhan calls sense ratios. We read a book with our eyes and our mind. We watch television with our eyes and our ears. The content of the medium comes to us through specific senses, sight, sound, touch, thought, etc. As those senses are engaged, it affects how we use our other senses. I've referred to this before myself, giving an example of a chimp fishing ants out of an anthill with a stick. The stick is an extension of her hand. While she's holding that stick, she can't use that hand for some other purpose, such as to defend herself from an attack by another chimp. Even if she could, she might not notice the attack, since she's focused mentally on the stick and whether or not it has ants on it. So as a medium makes one thing easy, it makes other things hard. If you are reading the summary, you're using different senses than if you are listening to it. That changes how you interact with this summary. If you're reading, you can easily reread parts. If you're listening, it's less likely you'll rewind to re-listen to parts. If you're reading on a laptop or a phone, or an ebook reader. Each of these devices will also change how you engage with the content. Reading on an ebook reader while lying alone on your couch is different than listening on a subway surrounded by people or listening on a Bluetooth speaker while cooking dinner. A really subtle part of McLuhan's basic description is that personal and social consequences of any medium result from this altering of sense ratios. In other words, the characteristics of the medium cause personal and social consequences. What's subtly implied here is that the content we're so often concerned about, violence in video games, for example, is really caused by the medium itself. As I write this summary, I'm thinking about what medium you'll use to consume it. That's changing the decisions I make. I know you might listen to it instead of read it, so I use shorter sentences. I may even be repetitive. I know if you find this summary through a search engine, you'll be in a hurry. I know that search engines will rank my article based upon signals that suggest whether or not it was helpful for you. For these reasons, I'm trying to break up the article so you can skim it in a hurry. McLuhan doesn't say this specifically, but any medium is Darwinian in nature. Only organisms suited for their environment survive. Only messages suited for the environment created by their medium survive. The medium is the message. So media extends our capabilities, alters our sense ratios, and shapes the messages within the media themselves. This has social consequences. Here's some examples of how media affects society from today's world. Road rage. It is easier to yell at someone in another car while you're speeding away in your car than it is to say the same thing in an aisle in the grocery store. You get road rage. Porn addiction. It is easier to look up porn on the internet to satisfy any sexual fantasy you might have than it is to deal with actual human relationships that normally surround sex. You get porn addiction. Fake news. It is easier to share on Facebook an article you agree with, but that isn't true, than it is to stop and study the article to consider whether it is true. Additionally, the attention that message gets makes Facebook money. So as more people share the article, it further fuels the message. You get fake news. Yes, every new medium has brought about new and strange behaviors people criticize. Yes, those behaviors are often a reinvention of existing behaviors. But that's kind of the point McLuhan is making. The characteristics of a medium change the message. That, in turn, heightens and dampens various aspects of our behavior. To be unaware of how media changes us is a threat to civilization. More on that later. That's the first idea from the book. The medium is the message. Next up, the second idea. We're shifting from mechanical technology to electric technology. Mechanical technology alters our sense ratios in different ways from electric technology. The same way cogs on a gear have to be cut and sized to fit together, mechanical technology forces us to compartmentalize things in a way that allows mechanical technology to work. It's kind of like Nassim Taleb's platonification that I talked about in my Black Swan book summary on episode 244. A very basic mechanical technology is the alphabet. We've broken language into 26 characters we can arrange to make words that represent our thoughts. Before written language, we had to physically be in front of someone to communicate with them through spoken word. The language we speak itself is mechanical. It's a mechanization of our thoughts. Until relatively recently, if we wanted to transport information, something as simple as, hey, let's have dinner tonight, we had to do so physically. McLuhan says the Roman Empire was able to govern because they distributed documents written on papyrus. They developed roads, a mechanical technology, primarily so they could physically move information throughout the empire. This enabled them to rule a massive area of land. Thanks to mechanical technology, Rome built a centralized government. When Rome lost control of Egypt, they no longer had access to papyrus, so they could no longer distribute information. Europe decentralized. It fragmented into feudalism. It wasn't until Europe adopted papermaking methods from China that information could flow freely again and Europe could condense into larger states. An example of an electric technology is the telegraph. Remember, before the telegraph was developed in the 1800s, you had to physically, or mechanically, move information from one place to another. With the telegraph, Suddenly, information that used to take weeks to reach its destination now took minutes. This information flow has accelerated, and now we have the internet. When I was growing up in a cul-de-sac in Nebraska in the 90s, my life changed when I started using the internet. I previously lived in a mechanical world. I could only be friends with kids who lived in my neighborhood, regardless of whether we had the same interests. Suddenly, I lived in an electric world. I could now be friends with anyone, anywhere. Now, I can live in Colombia and publish my words to the whole world. But with this lifestyle that's made possible by electric technology, I run into conflicts with the remnants of mechanical technology. The very concept of a country where I spend a different currency and where I need permission to stay is a result of mechanical technology. Centralized governments like the Romans built are mechanical. They organize people and land through physical means. Remember, media is an extension of our capabilities. The wheel, a mechanical technology, is an extension of the foot. Instead of walking wherever you like, the wheel lets you go faster, but you need roads on which to travel. McLuhan says electric technology is an extension of our nervous system. In the book, McLuhan essentially predicts Google Maps. He says existing technologies, including cities, will become information systems. When we have instant access to information all throughout the world, we feel that information, just as we might feel a fluffy kitten or a hot stove. That's the second idea I want to share from Understanding Media. We're shifting from mechanical to electric technology. Now on to the third idea. Mechanical technology detribalized humans. Now electric technology is retribalizing humans. As we use electric technology to overcome physical stress, such as carrying a letter over oceans and mountain ranges, that creates psychic stress. Thanks to electric technology, communication sped up so that we could communicate across the world. That created physical stress of doing commerce from far away. So many of us moved, creating psychic stress of being away from friends and family. Another form of psychic stress caused by electric technology comes in the form of our simultaneous awareness of everything happening in the world at all times. More on that in a bit, but first a story about how mechanical technology detribalizes. McLuhan describes a UNESCO experiment where they installed running water in a village in India. The villagers soon after asked for the pipes to be removed. They said the social life of the village had eroded. Thanks to running water, people were staying in their homes. They were no longer gathering at the communal well, so they were no longer chatting and maintaining relationships. Before running water, the village was more tribal. The running water detribalized the village. It compartmentalized a very important function in their lives, that of getting water. It did that through the mechanical technology of pipes. It was more convenient, but by altering the sense ratios involved in getting water, it extracted that act from the social ritual that once surrounded it. In a purely physical world, people tend to organize into small tribes or villages. Instead of being compartmentalized and specialized, there are deep interconnections in relationships and functions. Instead of just selling shoes, the cobbler makes them too. The smaller the group of people, the more every death and birth and prayer is experienced together, shared by everyone in the tribe. As electric technology has more influence, we're increasingly retribalized. As McLuhan describes it, mechanical technology explodes while electric technology implodes. The extension of our nervous system created by electric technology has made us more aware of how our local actions have effects on a global scale. Understanding Media, by the way, is where Marshall McLuhan coined the term global village. When you realize we are shifting from detribalized to retribalized as electric technology takes place of mechanical technology, the world starts to make sense. Here are things we're seeing as the mechanical is replaced by the electric. We're shifting from industrialized food to organic food. Mechanical technology helped us increase crop yields and build reliable distribution of food. Electric technology is making us aware of where our food comes from and the impact our food choices have on a global scale. We're seeing a rewilding of diets as we introduce more biodiversity beyond the staples of corn, wheat, orange juice, and pork bellies. As people interpret this flood of information, different diets are springing up, like different tribes, such as keto, paleo, carnivore, pescatarian, vegetarian, vegan, and on and on. Drugs are being legalized. The state control over what people put in their bodies is mechanical, as was the scare tactics and misinformation that helped reinforce that control. As more people are learning the truth about mostly harmless drugs such as marijuana, these drugs are becoming decriminalized and legalized. Time is being reconsidered. Our linear conception of time is a relic of a mechanical world. Time has allowed us to increase output by breaking processes into steps and allowing the coordination of those steps amongst people and organizations. But as electric technology is allowing free information flow and automation is making work obsolete, creativity is becoming more important. As I've talked about in Mind Management, Not Time Management, creative output is decoupled from our linear conception of time. Next time you're puzzled by the state of the world, try this. Ask yourself, is it a conflict between mechanical and electric technology? You can see it in the questioning of whether a police force is the right way to restore order in society, in the gendered bathroom debate, in Russia's media manipulation in American society, and in the rise of Bitcoin. McLuhan sees our lack of awareness of how media affects us as a threat to civilization. From the book, "The threat of Stalin or Hitler was external. The electric technology is within the gates, and we are numb, deaf, blind, and mute about its encounter with the Gutenberg technology on and through which the American way of life was formed. It is, however, no time to suggest strategies when the threat has not even been acknowledged to exist." Yes, McLuhan compares the effects of electric technology to Hitler. He warns that it's foolish to think of technology as neither good nor bad. The solution, he says, is to start by being aware that the very nature of media alters our behavior in the first place. He reminds us that we misunderstand the Greek myth of Narcissus. Narcissus saw his reflection in the river and stared at it longingly until he withered away. We think of narcissism as an obsession with oneself. McLuhan reminds us there is something missing from our modern understanding of the myth of Narcissus, that Narcissus didn't know he was looking at himself. Narcissus's name comes from the Greek word for narcotic. As media takes over our senses, it numbs us, like a narcotic, from the true effect it's having. One last quote from McLuhan. "It is not an exaggeration to say that the future of modern society and the stability of its inner life depend in large part on the maintenance of an equilibrium between the strength of the techniques of communication and the capacity of the individual's own reaction." In other words, we need to become aware of how media affects us. That's what understanding media helps us do. There are many other compelling ideas in this book, one of the most famous being McLuhan's description of hot and cool media, hot media being media that directly takes over one particular sense, and cool media being media that invites your participation. Another juicy idea was the chapter on learning a living, basically saying that the mere idea of work is a product of mechanical technology, and that we're increasingly finding our work to come in the form of continuously learning. I could write an entire article on either of those ideas, but for now, I hope you enjoyed that summary. Understanding Media is a very long and complex book. I broke down 25,000 words worth of highlights, a novella's worth, to write this summary. It is the most eye-opening book I have read in more than a decade. I highly recommend it. One thing I've learned in over a decade as an independent creator is to invest in ideas. They really are everything. Most of them don't work out, but the ones that do can be big. I had one idea that led to a book deal and transformed my life. I had another idea that connected me with a company that later sold to Google, which brought a surprise payday. Big ideas start small, and the place I share my ideas first is my weekly newsletter. It's called Love Mondays, and each week I share a big little idea about how to break through to become a true original and make it as a creator. I also share my favorite quotes and books and tools for thought. Think of Love Mondays as like a shot of creative fuel to start off your week. There's several thousand subscribers. We're having a good time. Join Love Mondays at kdv.co/newsletter. That's kdv.co/newsletter. You might have noticed I don't have ads on Love Your Work. I haven't had them for a long time now. In fact, a big company whose name you would definitely recognize offered me money to advertise in the show recently, and I had to turn it down. Why? Because some money feels good, some money feels not as good. When I see that somebody bought one of my books, that feels good. When a company advertises on the show, I mean, it's money, but that doesn't feel quite as good. Another kind of money that feels really good is the money I get from my Patreon supporters. It feels like an honest exchange. It's a vote of confidence that they like the show. Since I myself support a number of creators on Patreon, I know it feels good to vote with my dollars and support the kind of work I would like to see in the world. And that's what I'm trying to do here. Make the kind of podcast I want to listen to and share the ideas I want to see in the world. So if you like the show, a great way to let me know is to support the show on Patreon. Even a few bucks a month helps. It really adds up over all the dedicated listeners, and it motivates me to keep doing what I'm doing. If you'd like to support the show, visit the Patreon page at patreon.com/katavi. You'll see the different levels and perks available. Even if you're on the fence, check out the page. Again, it's at patreon.com/katavi. That's patreon.com/katavi. Thanks for your support. Thank you to our newest Patreon supporters. Thank you to Robert and Jennifer Wilson and Caleb. Thank you also to our newest supporter at the mini sponsorship level, Christian Margarushin Stanchu. Thank you big time for the big support. Christian runs a service called AutoSpotting at autospotting.io. AutoSpotting can save you a ton of money on Amazon EC2 by replacing expensive on-demand instances in auto-scaling groups with up to 90% cheaper spot clones with minimal effort and configuration changes. I have to admit, I personally don't know what that means, but if you run Amazon EC2 instances, do go check out AutoSpotting at autospotting.io. Thank you again, Christian. Love Your Work is brought to you in part by our top Patreon supporters, including Jeffrey Mason, and our mini sponsor, AutoSpotting, at autospotting.io. The theme music for Love Your Work is At Sea by Durena from the album About Everything and More by arrangement with Deep Elm Records at deepelm.com. Love Your Work is a production of Katavi, Inc.